Good evening. How are y'all? I'm getting my scripture ready. Y'all can be turning to John chapter 8 while we're going over the announcements. Did everybody have a good day? Let me get my cheat sheet out. Welcome. That's what my cheat sheet says. Welcome. Y'all bow with me. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we love you so much, and we are so thankful that we get to come to church in Oklahoma, Mississippi on a Wednesday night. We thank you so much that we live in a country that allows that. And we don't have to fight anybody to do it. We don't have to come to church with guns strapped on our backs. We don't have to worry about getting bombed while we're here. We don't have to worry about that because we belong to the kingdom of God. And greater is the He that is in us than He that is out there in this world. And Father, I pray tonight for everybody who is living in places where they can't go to church. I ask for protection, especially for Israel tonight. Father, I pray that that Iron Dome keeps working and strikes down every missile that comes toward it. Father God, I pray that every assignment of the enemy towards Israel blows up in their own backyard. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This coming Sunday night is movie night. Does everybody already know that? It's movie night, 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall, and it is a fundraiser for the women's prayer group. Running the Bases. It's a Christian movie, right? Okay. We're going to have popcorn, hot dogs, refreshments are going to be there. And instead of asking for a certain amount for your food and your movie ticket, we're going to have a donation box set up. So pray about it. Whatever you purpose in your heart, give it. And we're just going to let the Lord provide. And it's going to be fun. Brother Jimmy's got down here, good times, good movie, and good fellowship. So come and bring everybody you know. Bring a lawn chair. If you don't have a lawn chair, we got chairs. We'll find you a place to sit down out there. Thank you to everyone who participated Sunday night and senior night. It was a great success. It was a good time. Food was awesome as always. And I think Hayden and Chase Garrett enjoyed it too. Prayer request sheets are going around. Who's got some good news?
I've had a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yay! It's always good news when you have a good doctor report. Awesome. Amen. Anybody else got some good? All right. That's awesome. So you don't need these things like I'm wearing, do you? I can see y'all with them on, but when I'm just going to take them off and put something else on so I can read my notes. Then I won't be able to see y'all. So don't get up and leave because I won't know. Anybody else? Good news. Y'all got a song up there, Andy? All right.
There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. And once you choose it, you can't lose it. Oh, and there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. Got a sweet salvation, it's beautiful. Got a heart that's overflowing, 'cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. When those valleys that I pass through become mountains that I can't climb, Lord, you are with me. You never leave me. Oh, and there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. Got a sweet salvation, it's beautiful. Got a heart that's overflowing, 'cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Singing in my soul, got a way deep down salvation, it's beautiful. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. Got a sweet salvation, it's beautiful. Got a heart that's overflowing, 'cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Steal my joy.
For anybody that don't know, Brother Jimmy and Miss Ann are out of town in Texarkana having big fun. But we are too. We're having big fun. Okay, now I can't see y'all. So, and we'll get me some of that 2020 vision, Larry. It's going to be delivered probably tonight, because we're supposed to run the devil out. We're going to talk about the devil tonight. Well, y'all, did y'all find John chapter 8? John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Let's just get right into it. Satan has established on this earth a worldly kingdom based on four things. Lies is the first thing. He does it so well. He's so good at it. In John 8 and 44, Andy, you got it? Or we're going to have it on the screen? If not, we can read it out of our Bibles. Did everybody bring a Bible? If you don't, sit next to somebody that's got one. John chapter 8 and verse 44 says, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies." Lies is the first thing that he has set his kingdom on this earth. If he's talking, he's lying. He's famous for lying. He talked a third of the angels out of heaven. And he wants to talk you into hell. He wants to talk your children into hell. He wants to talk your grandchildren into hell. He's trying to talk one of my grandchildren into hell right now. But he messed up when he messed with this grandmama. Because I have a promise in here that says from God himself, said, I got your family to 1,000 generations. So it's just Satan's bad luck. He's not getting mine. But he talked a third of the angels out of heaven now. Had it good. The best life I can imagine is in heaven with the Father. But he talked them into going with him. He talked them out of it. He will tell you what you want to hear to make you feel better about what you've done. Adultery. I'm not calling anybody in here an adulterer or an adulteress, but he'll tell an adulterer, it's okay. Who's going to know? Nobody's going to find out. Stealing. You steal something from work. We're all the time seeing on the news or reading in the newspaper about somebody has embezzled some money from their job in the government. He says it's okay. Nobody's going to know. You're not going to get caught. Well, let me tell you something. It's not okay. And everybody's going to find out. And you will always get caught. So don't believe his lies. Repeat this after me. Devil, you are a liar. And I'm done listening. The second thing is unbelief. Over the centuries since he left heaven with his horde of demon angels, he has done a fabulous job at talking people into unbelief. Not only talking them out of their belief in God or belief in Jesus as the Son of God, how many people do you know that maybe kind of believe but kind of don't? Maybe Jesus was, maybe not. Where's the proof, they say? Where's the proof? Well, the proof is in the Word of God, and every word in this book is truth. But some people, until they have a divine revelation, a Damascus Road experience with Jesus Christ himself, they're going to keep sitting on the fence. And let me tell you, if you're sitting on the fence, that's not good. Some people say, well, I'll get it. I'll make up my mind later. Well, let me tell you, the fence belongs to the devil. And if he can keep you on the fence, he can keep you. Get off the fence. You got to jump off one side or the other. Get off of it. Come to our side, people. But he's also talked them into unbelief in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Tongues. He's talked for centuries and centuries that tongues are of the devil. That's what people told me. Now listen, you see what he did there? He used his own self because he knows that Christians hate him. So let's use me, he says. We'll call it of me. Keep people from doing it. And he did it. It worked. In Acts chapter 2, on that day of Pentecost, they went out, those 120 went out, and they were speaking in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, laying hands on people, getting them healed, filled, delivered. Breakthroughs were happening. They were preaching the gospel, people getting saved left and right. That was the normal. That was the way the church was designed to be. Look at where it's at now. Look at where it's at now. How many people do not believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit or even know who the Holy Spirit is or what he does, why he was sent here to be with us? They have no clue. And I know some people that would argue you down about the Trinity. Argue you down about it. Another thing he caused people to have unbelief over is women preachers and teachers. Now, that's a whole other teaching. I'm not going to get into it. I'll be glad to have a one-on-one with you anytime you want to do, because I promise you, since May the 12th, 2016, that is a deep dive that I went into. And I can tell you all about it. But he silenced half the world's population when he told the people, keep your women shut up. They're not supposed to preach. They're not supposed to teach. They have to be silent in the churches. Wrong. 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 I can't say it enough. Wrong. But y'all are here on a Wednesday night at Faith Outreach Church, so I know y'all are not going to throw tomatoes at me and run me out of town. But he did it. He shut up half the world's population that should be out there spreading the gospel. Just think how many people did not get saved because a man told a woman to shut up. But that man wasn't bold enough to go to those people and say, this is what you do. How many people were lost through the centuries? And how many more? Women, stand up. Stand up. Because you know what? There's a prophecy in the Bible in the book of Joel. This is that. And this is that. Peter talked about it in Acts chapter 2. He said, y'all, this is that. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit. Every man and woman will prophesy. Your sons and your daughters. Everybody. There is no male or female, because we are all one in Christ. And the third thing, let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to be in 1 through 6. And I'm reading from the New King James. Well, the third thing is doubt. That's another thing he has based his earthly kingdom on, is doubt. Now, the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die. No, you will certainly not die. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now, Adam and Eve had one job. Take care of the garden and be happy. God had provided everything they needed. Every type of food. Clean, fresh water to drink. Beautiful surroundings. They had one job, and that was just take care of it. Just take care of it. But the devil talked her into doubting that what God said was the truth. She forgot who God was. She forgot who the creator of her was. She forgot the things that he had taught them and showed them. So she did it anyway. She ate it. She said, well, maybe not. Maybe I won't die. But she did. She and Adam spiritually died. And right then, as soon as they took that bite, they needed a Savior. Just like we all did before we got saved. We knew we needed a Savior. And they knew that they needed something to happen to get back to God. Because right then they were banished. They were sent out to work hard, to toil all their lives. And y'all, they lived for hundreds of years doing that. So the punishment was long and just for their disobedience. But she doubted the very word of God. How many of y'all have doubted? I've doubted. Recently, I've doubted. But I thank God that He sent me a word Sunday. This past Sunday, He sent me a word to open my eyes and straighten me out. Because I needed some straightening out. I needed a word, and He sent it. Praise God. Greater is He. Greater is He. Say that with me. Greater is He.
Greater is He.
He's greater than anything the devil ever wants to hit you with. Anything he can come up with. Amen? The fourth thing that the devil has built his earthly kingdom on is deception. Now, this one he's been slowly feeding the world for centuries, millennia, ever since he started his job as the devil. You know the story, y'all know the story about the frog that was put in the pot to cook him. And he got put in a pot and the water was cool, so he was swimming around, floating around. And they turned the heat up on the pot. And slowly it got warmer and warmer. But he didn't take any notice of that because he was enjoying it. You know, he had been in there since it was cold. But very slowly, that pot of water got hotter and hotter and hotter until the frog was dead. So what the devil has done to us. And you think, well, no, he hadn't done that to me. Let me tell you, he has. He's done it to every person on this earth. Can y'all remember, people, I'm 55. 55 and the people older than me. Can y'all remember a time when you turned on the TV as little kids, you didn't see sex on TV. You didn't see cuss words. You didn't hear cuss words on TV. I can remember the very first time, are there any little kids here? I can remember the very first time I ever saw a bra commercial on TV. I was scandalized. I thought, what in the world? That woman's got a bra on. And you can see it. I left the room. I was probably 5, 6, 7 years old. Playtex. Done put it out there. And now, it's not anything to turn the TV on and see people going at it. On regular TV too, not just cable TV. Regular TV. I don't have regular TV anymore. But you see what he did. He started it out just a little bit. Oh, here's a little bra commercial, you know. And there was one of them lunch lady bras. You know what I'm talking about, them neck to hips kind of. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't nothing like Victoria got, you know. This was, but little bit by little bit. You heard you. First cuss word on TV. It was probably just a little, what we would call a little word. But now, you can't turn on something, the F word's flying, GD's flying, that makes me so mad. So mad. But little by little, through the years, he started to desensitize us. Horror movies. There's another one, let's go there. Horror movies. How many of y'all watch horror movies? I don't. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. But it's okay. It's okay to watch somebody get their head cut off. It's okay to watch people's hearts get ripped out by what's his name. No, it's not. It's not okay. That's demonic. Freddy, Jason, they're all, those are demonic. And demonic spirits created those movies. It could be your next door neighbor writing one of the movies. That could be just good as gold. But something's wrong somewhere for somebody to sit and write that movie. Soap operas, my Lord. I quit watching Days of Our Lives when Marlena got possessed by the devil. Do y'all remember that? What was that? Listen. It was supposed to be entertainment. But that form of entertainment we don't need in our lives. There's other forms of entertainment. A lot better forms of entertainment. If you have to watch a Tom and Jerry cartoon, watch it. I remember when Bugs Bunny was voted the most violent show on TV. Bugs Bunny. That cartoon. What's the name of it? What's the name of that whole Looney Tunes? The most violent show on TV. It was voted one year. And because of Bugs Bunny's always, it's a wonder everybody on the show wasn't dead except him. And the Roadrunner always ended up under some kind of boulder, squished to death. And now they're trying to cancel it because they say, well, people are going to try that. It's a lot more entertaining to watch Tom and Jerry and the Roadrunner than it is to watch people have sex on TV. People cussing and taking the Lord's name on vain. But see how he's done it through the years. Here we go, a little bit here, a little bit there, until now it's commonplace and people think it's normal. People think it's okay. It's not okay. It will never be okay. It will never be. And I'm just fixing to go here. Okay, thank you, Jesus. He just told me to go here. I'm going. So some of y'all may unfriend me on the Facebook after this. Some of y'all may take my number out of your phone. God told me to do it. I'm going to do it. Prom weekend just happened a couple weeks ago. Do y'all know that? There was prom. All the schools had prom. And the mamas and daddies was being all, look at my baby. She went to prom. Your baby's naked, okay? Your baby don't have enough clothes on to walk outside. Cover your children up. Cover your children up. Thank you for that. Come on. Listen, if your child is walking out of the house pulling on her skirt like this, it's too short. Turn her around and march her back into the house and make her change her clothes. If things are popping out, don't let her leave the house. I saw some of the most scandalous looking things on those prom pictures. I have seen personally myself hookers in Atlanta, Georgia that had more clothes on than these girls had on. Driving through Atlanta, Georgia. It's got to start in the home. Okay, I went there. Trans people in children's libraries at school reading them stories about queers. Is that supposed to be normal now? I don't want them reading to my grandchildren. I don't want my grandchildren to know what that is. A scientist said the other day, and I have a major in science. I have a degree in science. I didn't know this. The human brain does not develop until you're 25 years old. It's not considered to be fully developed to you. But they're telling 3 and 4 year old kids, you may not be a little girl. You might be a boy. So let's take some pills and start the process. How does that child, is he or she able to walk up to mama? Can you imagine Mila coming up to you and saying, I think I'm a boy? Can you imagine yourself telling her, you need an operation because you weren't supposed to be a girl? He has desensitized people to the point to where madness reigns supreme in this world. I hear people all the time at work will hear some of this stuff on the news or see some of this stuff on social media. And somebody will say, what is this world coming to? I say an end. An end is coming to an end. And you better know what side of that fence you're on before it happens. We have become a nation that tolerates things that God would never tolerate. God, the Creator, destroyed cities because of the things that we're tolerating now. And I recently had to repent because of a person in my family who is gay. And I had been tolerating it. I love him. I love him. But he's wrong. And we had that conversation. I said, I love you. But the Bible says, and I said, I believe every word the Bible says. And I said, Lord, forgive me for tolerating things that you would never tolerate. You didn't tolerate it then. You're not tolerating it now, and you're not going to tolerate it tomorrow. But we have become that nation, that world, that tolerates things that he never would have tolerated. We have been desensitized into thinking that good is bad and bad is good. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Look on TV. Look at what's going on. It's okay to let illegals into our country. It's okay to let them vote. That's not what the Constitution says. They've got Donald Trump in court right now. With nothing. There's been no crime, no victims, but they're determined to put him in jail and they think they can get away with it. But greater is he. Say it loud. Greater is he. Greater is he than these people that are reading dirty books to my kids. Greater is he that is trying to railroad innocent people into jail. Greater is he than anybody coming across our border. Greater is he than any country that wants to start a war. If I heard us called the great Satan one time this past week, I heard it 100 out of Iran. Yeah. There was a men's conference a few days ago in Missouri. Have y'all heard about that? A men's conference in a church in Missouri had a male stripper entertained before the conference started. This male stripper apparently has gotten his life together and become a Christian. But he still took his shirt off and climbed on a pole. And when another minister that was there to speak at the conference got up and rebuked it, he was asked to leave by the pastor of the church. Because the pastor of this church declared, no, you did that wrong. You should have come to me privately. It doesn't matter if he should have come to you privately. You shouldn't have had a man stripped down, half naked, climb a pole and dance on it at your men's conference. And from what I can gather about this church, they kind of believe like we do. But they thought that was okay. They thought that was okay. Every man in that room should have got up and left. And you know what? For all this stuff that the devil has done and the devil is doing and the devil he's going to do after we leave here tonight, our hope is in Jesus. He'll never lie to us. He'll never deceive us. He'll never cause doubt or unbelief in our life because he is the way, the truth, and the life. It's very simple. You believe that he is and you'll be saved. You are saved if you believe. Keep the armor of God on. Don't take it off. The devil's looking for any little chink in the armor. He's looking for any little crack in the armor. He's looking for any little bare spot in the armor to crawl in. And if he can crawl in and get you, he's going to do what he does because he knows where your weak spots are. He knows what buttons to push on you to get you going, to get you to say things, do things, act like things that are not of God. Don't let him in. He can throw anything he wants at you as long as that armor's on. It will bounce off of you. So in the end, he loses and we win. So tonight, let's with one voice tell the devil we've read the back of the book. Devil, we've read the back of the book. Say it with me. We've read the back of the book. You lose, we win. Has anybody already unfriended me on Facebook? I saw some of y'all on y'all's phone. But. Well, all right. I'm so glad. Let's bring those prayer request sheets up front, please. Israel is... Has anybody put Israel on there? Yeah. It's on there. He's on here. Yeah, he's always on there. Biden is too, though. Biden is too. Don't forget, when you're praying for President Trump to come out of this mess smelling like a rose, pray for Joe Biden. Pray for his mind. Pray for the people around him because, Lord, he needs it. Mm-hmm. Father God, we love you, and as we lay hands on these prayer requests tonight, I pray for everybody on here that needs a healing. They are healed in the name of Jesus. The name above all names, the name that is mightier than any name on this earth. They are healed. I pray for deliverance. I pray for breakthrough. I pray for people who need jobs to get jobs. People who need raises to get raises. Money come to them. Increase, increase, increase. I pray for this church that every seat in this church is filled. Yes. I pray that Sunday morning, Brother Jimmy Bryan has a house full to preach to. Amen. And Holy Spirit, thank you for showing up tonight. We appreciate it. I appreciate it more than anybody. Yes. And Father God, we love you so much. Yes, we love you so, so many. Amen. Thank you for your promises. They are all yes and amen. Amen. Yes. In Jesus' name, so be it.
So be it. Amen. Amen. Great job. Awesome.
Thank you. Love you. Oh, yeah. Tell somebody you love them before you go. Don't tell Brother Jimmy how early y'all got out.